Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 37, please. Psalm 37. The title this morning is, Who's in Charge? Psalm chapter 37. Begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 37, 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. I guess those first verses apply well to Tuesday, don't they? Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Amen. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Someone has said, life is what happens while you're making other plans. You know, we can contemplate your life and you realize that frequently life goes off script. Those of us who have a few years behind us look back and you think, I never thought I'd be here where I am today or have gotten here the way that I did. Wasn't according to my plan. If things had gone to my plan, I'd be dead today probably. Had not God intervened in my life and I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But life doesn't, in fact, rarely turns out as we plan it, as we contemplate, as we fill our schedules and prepare our budgets and make our reservations and plot our course and all with well-thought-out goals. And then some unplanned or unseeable event comes and it all goes out the window. That's life. You need to understand that. That's life. And sometimes it's just a temporary disruption, and you can get back on course as you desired or thought you were planning and go on and maybe fairly well stay to the script. But sometimes it just totally changes everything. And instead of going this way, you end up going this way. Life doesn't work out always the way we plan it. We can plot devise. But ultimately, we have little control over how the thing is going to play out. The question is, how do you respond when a change of course comes up? Who is in control of your life? Do you recognize who is in control of your life? The text basically this morning is verses 23 and 24 of Psalm chapter 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I want to start this morning first by looking at the good man. You know, in my life I've met some people, some good folks. Lost, but good folks. I remember Glenn Coberly, a man that I worked for when we lived out in Kansas. Had a fairly large feedlot, about 3,000 or 4,000 head of cattle on it. And I worked for him one winter. It was winter when it started snowing in October and didn't stop snowing until April. That was rare for out there. And all we did was move snow all winter long, cleaning the pens so the cattle would have someplace dry and to lay down and so forth. I got so sick of the inside of that loader by the time that winter was over. But Glenn was a good man. And his wife attended our church, and he oftentimes would bring her because she had MS and traveled in a wheelchair. And Glenn would usually sleep through the sermon, except for the one April Fool's when we stood up and I told him that Eileen was going to preach that day. And he said, I was ready to stay awake for that one. But he was a good man. Treated me well as his hired hand. There were times and during the day, you know, we'd kind of get caught up on things that he wanted to get done that day. He says, go over and spend some time with Ada. Just visit with her this afternoon for a while. He was a good man. Upright man. But he's lost. And to my knowledge, he died without Jesus Christ as his Savior. But he was a good man. Thoughtful, honest, kind, generous. But none of that is any good. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not Glenn Coberly. Not me. Not you. None of us is good according to God's standard. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We miss the mark, every last one of us. There's nobody that deserves to go to heaven. There is no real good man. At least not the way that man looks upon it. But who is the truly good man? Go back to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. And verse 3. Psalm 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You see, Glenn was a good man as far as from a human perspective. That kindness, that generousness, the thoughtfulness of other people. A man kind of like Cornelius over there in Acts chapter 10. even just in many ways. But the one thing he lacked was trusting in God. His trust was in himself. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Oh, I hate that word. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We're to trust him. We're to delight ourselves in him. We're to commit our ways unto him. And we're to rest in him. That's the good man whose life is in the hands of God. Okay, God, here's my plans. Here's my budget. Here's my goals for my life. Be free to change anything you want. That's a good man. If you want to take it all and throw it in a trash can and go over this way, okay, God, that's fine with me. That's the good man whose trust is in God. Look at verse 18, Psalm 37. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. God knows my days. God knows what's coming for me tomorrow. Do I trust that? Have I committed that to Him? Do I rest in that? That's the good man. Verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints, for they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 31. The law of God is in His heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A good man is one who God favors, who seeks to obtain that favor of God. I taught the older kids in their Sunday school class this morning, and we just went over some basic things about the proper behavior in church, things that we'd expect them to do, and what their purpose for being here is. And one of the things that I tried to stress in all that is, this is God's. This belongs to God. And we need to conduct ourselves in a way that gains God's favor in what we're doing. That's the good man, obtaining favor of the Lord, living uprightly, filled with the Spirit, and seeking His favor. The good man. But secondly, notice this. There in chapter 23, chapter 37, verse 23, it says the good steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Life is so uncertain. You got Beth Reese waiting the results of that biopsy to find out if she's got bone marrow cancer or not. You got Shannon waiting to see how the injury that she sustained at Walmart the other day, if that's going to be any permanent damage or not. You got Jay's father-in-law dying of cancer, right? Dying. And Mary's sister now. You know, man, there's a lot of uncertainties. Just like that, blood clot could hit me and I could drop dead. And it's over. What happens to all my plans, my goals, my desires, my dreams? They're gone. They're done. It's finished. Life is so uncertain. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Proverbs 27, it tells us to boast not for the morrow, for we know not what the day may bring forth. Here in James chapter 4, he says this in verse 13. go to now, you say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. See, this guy's talking about next year. And he says, hold it, you don't even know about tomorrow. How can you be so confident about next year? You know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and to do this or that. It's not wrong to make plans. It's not wrong to set goals. It's not wrong to have a budget to live by and those things. I think those things are wise. But the thing is, we need to make room for God to make adjustments along the way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord because life is so uncertain, so unpredictable. You got no idea what's coming down the pike. But God does. And I wonder sometimes if we don't forget that. That God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, who knows what's coming tomorrow. And so I make my plan, I set my course, but I let God control the direction to get around this bump in the road here, or to go off in an entirely different direction if need be. Look at Psalm chapter 40. Job 23. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. This is Job, you remember? Who was that just man who feared God, making that sacrifice for his children, lest they had done some wrong, and suddenly, without warning, you've lost all your livestock. And that servant doesn't get the words out of his mouth, and you've lost all your crops. And that servant doesn't get the words out of your mouth, and all 7 of your kids just died. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Then he lost his health. And then even his wife said, just curse God and die. Just quit. That's rough. And he says, God, I don't understand, man. And I'm looking for you, God, and you don't seem to be there. But then he says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Commit thyself also unto the Lord, and he shall direct thy steps. Trust in him. Delight thyself in him. Rest in him is what Psalm 37 talked about. That's what Job's doing. Without this, he didn't have one word of this book at his disposal. He had the revelation that God gave to him through the heavens or directly, and that was it. He couldn't go to the Psalms and read how David handled some difficult and trying times. Or to go to the New Testament and read Paul as just him alone with what little limited revelation he had. And yet look at the faith that Job had. It's in your hands, God. I don't know where this thing is going, God, but I know when it's done, you know the way that I take, and when you have tried me, I will come forth as gold. That's a good man whose steps are ordered by God. Chapter 14, or verse 14. No, Job 14, verse 16. Job 14, 16. But now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? God knows it all. Chapter 31 and verse 4. Job 31, 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Think about that, folks. Every step. You say, oh, that's just talking about the general. No. This is the God that numbered our hairs. He numbers the steps as well. Each step that I take. Each one that's headed in the right direction, and each one that takes me aside. He numbers all my steps. Psalm 18, verse 36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. That truck backing up to that foundation site there. It looked like it was going to fall into that place on those guys. You believe God was involved in any of that? Enlarging the steps of that truck? Enlarging the spot where those tires were to keep it from falling in to that hole? That's what David's saying there. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. And as I allow God to order my steps, direct every one that I make, even though one might send me over a precipice somewhere, God can enlarge that thing and protect me and keep me safe. God knows the direction. God knows what He's doing in our lives. God knows every step that we take. And God has got a plan and a purpose for the life of each and every one of us. As I said before, as long as you're drawing breath, God is not done with you. God's got something He desires to use you for, to accomplish in and through your life. Now look at Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. Start at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. I've used this passage when giving my testimony at times. Because I was in an horrible pit before I got saved. The wicked life that I was living before I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 23 years old. He took me out of that. He delivered me from a lot of things and put my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Because I sincerely believe I would not be alive today had I not gotten saved. The way that I was living my life, I was destined for death. In fact, it came pretty close a few times. But God put me on a solid footing a direction that I'm going now. Something, and He's got a purpose in my life. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I can make the plans, but I got to understand God's in control of that thing, the direction that it goes. Chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When I submit it all to God, that's what will be true. There's no correction that's going to need to be made in my life and the direction that I go if God is in control of it. Now, it might be a change of direction, but that's not a correction. That's God keeping me where He wants me to be going. Look at, you think about how many different people in the Bible. Many examples in Scripture. You got Esther. Queen Esther put in that particular place at that particular time for that particular purpose. To stand up to be a voice before the king on the behalf of her people, which were about to be destroyed. And it was said that you had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That one moment in time was the purpose of Esther's life, to be there on the behalf of her people to spare them from destruction. Joseph, what an example he is of his life and the difficulties and the trials that he went through to get where he finally ended up. And what was that purpose? He says, you meant it for evil to his brothers, but God meant it for good. To look back on that thing and say, man, I didn't like some of those detours that God took me on. I didn't like some of that direction. You sold into slavery, in jail, ready to be executed. And yet God directing him through all of that thing to get him to that place where he was in charge in Egypt. Pharaoh just turned everything over to Joseph. Pharaoh didn't know anything about any of his crops or any of his wealth. He said, Joseph just handles that for me. All of that was going on in his life was to develop that trust of Pharaoh in Joseph to get Joseph in that position so that when his family came down, they were set. And God brought the people of Israel down into Egypt at 75 in number, and sheltered them and protected them in that nursery, so to speak, for that family to grow up into a great nation of several million people that left Egypt in the Exodus. And it was all what God did with Joseph to get him to that place. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. As Joseph submitted to all that God took him through, all that God subjected him to get to that place. God has a plan and purpose for each of our lives. It may not be on the level of an Esther or a Joseph from man's standpoint, but God's perspective is what's important. We got a lot of different priorities than what God has. We look at that, we think, man, what an impact that one life had. But you know what? The impact that you might have on a friend, a neighbor, a child, family member, in God's eyes, may be just as significant of what he accomplished through Joseph's life. the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We got a choice. Either submit and surrender and receive the favor and the blessing of God in our lives, or we can resist and suffer sorrow and loss. We won't look at the scriptures on this, but you think about as far as the submission and surrender. The servant of Abraham going out to choose the bride for Isaac. And he's got the instructions from Abraham of what to do and who to go to and so forth and what to say. And if she comes, fine. If not, then you've done your job. You just go and be there. And he gets there and he follows the direction and Rebecca comes and feeds the animals or waters the animals like he put before God to do. And then he tells the family, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I just got moving in the right direction and God took care of everything else. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. As he surrendered, as he was willing to be used of God in that purpose. Okay, I'm your servant, Abraham. Whatever you say, it's up to you. Submissive and surrendered. That's the blessing that came out of that thing. But then you look at the choosing of one's own way and the sorrow and the loss. Abraham's nephew, Lot. Abraham and Lot, their herdmen were fussing with one another, fighting, not getting along. Abraham says, look, this isn't right. We got to go our separate ways because this isn't right. So Lot, whatever you want. Says Lot looked up his eyes to the well-favored plain, the well-watered plains of Sodom, and saw that they were good for grazing his cattle, his livestock, his sheep, and so forth. He considered not that the men of Sodom were there. He didn't include God in the choice that he made. And he ended up losing everything. Peter says, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the wicked that he faced there in the city of Sodom. And he ended up leaving there, losing his wife, losing at least 2 daughters, losing at least 2 sons, and the 2 daughters that came out with him didn't come out unscathed either. He basically lost everything because God wasn't a part of his choices. He didn't seek God, he didn't allow God to order his steps, and God did not delight in his way, and he suffered for it. The good steps, the steps of good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then it goes on and says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. How many of you here this morning are perfect? How many of you have not sinned in the last week? And my hand's not raised because I'm saying I have. None of us have we? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We're going to fail. That's not to excuse it. That's a fact of life. But we'll not be utterly cast down. Proverbs tells us that the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I need to deal with that sin when I do commit it. I need to confess that thing. I need to forsake that thing. But the thing is, God gives us the opportunity to go beyond that. To not keep us suppressed and depressed and held down by that sin. You know, little kids, you know, they start to walk and there's a lot of falls when they first start taking those first few steps. But as they get more experienced about it and do it a little bit more, they fall less frequently. To the point where you get to be an adult and the falls are few and far between. It's the way it ought to be spiritually too. Yeah, you get saved and you're excited about God and everything's new and bright and shiny, and you get discouraged sometimes. I remember going through that. The times that, God, how can I do such a thing? But then you get back up and you go on. You confess it and forsake it. And then you fall again and you confess it and forsake it. And you get up and go on. And in time, it gets a little less and a little less and a little less. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We need to seek God's direction in our lives. Allow us to take us where he desires to take us. Allow us to use us for what he desires to use us for. Let's look at a few more verses. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, verse 8. Psalm 5, 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. I believe it's a good idea to start out every day with that. Okay, God, you know the path before me today. Lead me in the right one. Help me to make the right choices throughout the day. Go in the right direction that you desire for me to go. Make it clear before me. Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalm 25, 5. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, sometimes we wonder how we got going in a certain direction. I think that might be the answer right there. We've not sought God's guidance. You look back on the day and you think, man, what a mess that was. What dumb choices I made. What foolishness I got into. And I think you can trace it back to the fact that the day didn't start out with, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. You know, there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy us, is seeking for the opportunity to take us down. He can't hurt God. God's not threatened or touched by him, except what he can do through us. That's how Satan hurts God. It's through me. My enemy's looking to take me down. My enemy's looking for a way, an opportunity to give God a black eye through me. And I need to be careful about my steps for that very purpose. Look at Psalm 143 and verse 10. Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. God's got a path planned for us. He's got a course that he desires for us to follow. And we need to seek his wisdom, his direction, that those steps are all the steps that God has numbered for us, for that this day and each and every day. The steps of a good man. are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Let's please stand for prayer. Lord, I pray for your help. For each of us in seeking you to order our steps in you. That those times of failure and falling and sin become fewer and farther between. And that when they occur, we be quick to turn to you to seek your cleansing and your forgiveness. And you're lifting us back up and placing us back on that solid rock and establishing again our goings. God, as we live in these last days, the efforts of the enemy are increasing in seeking to destroy us and to destroy your work through us. God, help us to be on our guard, to walk with you daily, to seek your counsel, your will, and your strength. And, O God, that you be delighted in our way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.